Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. And the Lord, you probably never heard a message like this before, but it's what I sense the Lord giving me. And the title is Clueless or Clued In? Clueless or Clued In? And as our prep stuff, Jesus, just after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit and he's beginning his ministry, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he, the Holy Spirit, has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, you know that John chapter 13 through 21 is the very last couple days of Jesus' life and ministry. So in John chapter 20, right before he went to the Father, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And he said that not only to those disciples there, but he said that to us as well. And then as we're learning foreign languages, ergo, what's that mean? Therefore, because of that, therefore the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is upon us, because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So now let's make it personal. Please read this together with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So who do you know that needs set free? In your worship folder, there is an invitation. And this is for you to give to a friend, whoever the Lord's laid on your heart, to just give to a friend to invite to church next Sunday for Easter Sunday. Several years ago, there was this a company did a survey, and they asked ordinary people, normal people — we are not normal people, we're the strangers and aliens, okay? They asked normal people, "Hey, what would it take you to go to church?" And like 70% of normal people said, "Oh, if someone would invite me." That's all it would take. Someone would invite me. Here's an invitation. Pray and ask the Lord who you should invite to church next Sunday on Easter. And it's made out for you. Just hand it to him. If you put it in the mailbox, make sure you put a stamp on it. We don't want to do anything illegal, okay? So, please. And this week, as the Holy Spirit lays someone on your heart, every time you stop it and at a stop sign, and please stop at your stop signs, okay? Stop, drop, and pray, all right? Stop and just take a moment to pray for the person that whoever the Lord lays on your heart. You've heard me say, I have 7 stop signs between my house and here, so I pray for 7 different people on the way to church every Sunday. So with that in mind, let's walk in intimacy with God. You may be the only Jesus that people ever see. You may be the only Jesus that people ever see. So with that in mind, let's each one of us walk in intimacy with God and invite others to do the same. And now we're going to go into the message. And by the way, Tanya is on vacation this week and next week. So if there's errors in the sermon notes, you know who did it. Unfortunately, no, it wouldn't be Pastor Trevor, it would be yours truly. And also for the PowerPoint, if it has errors in it, it's all me. But if you want to take sermon notes, whenever you see blue and underline like it is right there, that means there's a blank in the sermon notes. So again, the sermon title this week is Clueless or Clued In. Now, I know what it is to be clueless, because I told you guys, I was born with learning disabilities, and through 6th grade, I was one section above special education. In 7th grade, I prayed to receive Jesus, and by 9th grade, I was in the highest section of the school. I know what it is to be clueless. I know what it is for the teacher to write something on the board, and you're like, what does that mean? I know what it is to sit there. When I was in school, you know, you got these assignments, these pages, and then when you got done, you get to go to recess. Well, guess who never got to recess? You know, I'm like, this is not fair. And eventually a teacher would come up and say, "Oh, don't worry about it, Jeff, just go outside." All my report cards, nice kid, dumb as a brick. Nice kid, dumb as a brick. You know, that was my life for like 11 years. So I understand what it is to be clueless, and some of you think I still understand what it is to be, and that's okay. But this is what the Lord impressed upon me. I'm telling you, clueless is pretty normal. And we're going to have a video clip. It might take it just a little bit of time to jump up and start. But rather than read through the scriptures, it's in Luke chapter 11.
Those who were sent ahead.
Here it is.
Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
So that's word for word right out of the Bible. And that's why we use that. So, clueless or clued in, the disciples' perspective. Did the disciples, were they clueless or clued in? What were they? What do you think? Some of them were, but here's what John chapter 12, verse 16, talking about. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Most of the disciples were clueless. This is going, Jesus is right there, and they're clueless. The sad thing is they don't even know they're clueless. At one of the churches I served in, you've heard me say this, hopefully I haven't said it too many times, but they gave me this fish in this glass container and had a plant growing out the top, and it was a betta fish, and supposedly it was a symbiotic relationship. Symbiotic means they feed off each other. The stuff from the fish fed the plant and the plant fed the fish. That's just not true. The thing almost died on me and I had to buy fish food and do it. Feed the thing so it wasn't starving. It lost all its color, which meant it was starving. It didn't have protein. But anyway, so that thing was sitting right on my desk. And every once in a while on one of those terrible, rotten, no good days, and his name was Finley. Finley the fish. "Finley, how's the water in there?" And you know what Finley said every single time? "What water?" Every single time, Finley said, "What water?" Clueless people usually don't even know they're clueless. Okay? One of the steps of wisdom is knowing that you don't know. That's the first step in wisdom. That's freebie, by the way. Hey, how about the owners of the donkey? Were they clueless or clued in? Which one were they? They were clueless too. They didn't know why. They let the donkey go, but they just didn't know. They just didn't know. Now, for those of you who are disappointed that you don't have a palm branch yet, you're going to get one at the end of the service, okay? Just FYI, you're going to get one at the end of the service. But I know palm branches are more interesting than I am, so you don't get them until after the end, okay? Because you'd be fooling around and tickling each other and everything else. So, now here's, I'm going to step on toes here, okay? The donkey. What do you think about the donkey? Was the donkey clueless or clued in? I'm not sure. We don't know. It's speculation, but you know, sometimes animals know more than we do. God spoke through a donkey to someone once, remember? And every Sunday, he speaks through this donkey, you know? So, what about the crowd? You know, we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. I mean, probably even thousands of people there. What about the crowd? Were they clueless or clued in? Most of them were what? clueless. Jesus even taught a parable about it. Not about this situation, but about humanity in general. And, you know, come and follow me. And someone came and said, well, I've got to go bury my father. Well, I just got some property and I got to check it. Oh, I just bought a team of oxen and I gotta. I can promise you that if you're not stuck in sin, one of the best ways that Satan will deceive you and make you clueless is to keep you busy. Let me say that again. One of the best ways, if he can't get you stuck in sin, he's going to keep you busy. So you're so busy. I mean, the people of that in that city, I mean, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was coming into the city. It was a great and glorious day. And what were most people doing? Just whatever. And even some of the people that were spreading their cloaks down and stuff, they probably didn't even know why. They saw someone else doing it. Now, you guys would never do this, right? You never mimic other people. You never wonder if you're doing the right thing. What fork do I use? So you sneak around and you look to see what fork you're supposed to use. We would never do that, would we? You know, I could be wrong, but I think that most of them were clueless. And here Jesus, the Son of God, is there. And now we come to folk just like us, the religious people of the day. Now, I told you this before. When I was a kid growing up, every time I read something like this or saw this, you know, I'm not Jewish or anything like that, so it wasn't me. I'd recognize it. I didn't know what was going on. How could those disciples be so stupid? Only nowadays I realize, gee, I'm one of the religious leaders. In my last ministry position, I was the chief high priest and Pharisee of a whole district. Doesn't that just float your boat? Wouldn't you like to have that title? Chief High Priest and Pharisee. Ouch. So the religious leaders of the day, what were they saying? Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, and the Pharisees were the good guys. You know, we get this idea that Pharisees were bad people. They were the best of the best. They were the people trying their best to worship God and do everything right. They were the good guys. You would want them as a neighbor. They were like our elders here. You want them as a neighbor. They're good people. But from our perspective, we look back at them and we think, those chuckleheads. Sorry about that. What are they doing? Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them. Why are they saying all these things about you? Why are they saying that you're the Messiah? Why are they saying, Hosanna is blessed is one who comes in the name of the Lord? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So were the religious leaders clueless or clued in? Most of them were absolutely clueless. Hey, guess who the religious people of today are? Please, everyone, raise your hand. And if you're a leader in the church, raise both. Don't worry, it's not warm enough so that your armpits are showing anything. I was told in seminary, you always wear a coat because you'll get so hot, and if you raise your hands, anyway. Tricks of the trade. Now, here's another one that challenges me every single time. What about nature? What about nature? Was nature clueless or clued in? I tell you, Jesus replied, if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. Pastor Trevor already teased you a little bit because I said, are you going to let birds beat you to worshiping God on Easter? Are we? I'll be here before light. I'm going to beat those birds next week. I may not beat them every day, but next week I'm going to beat those birds. I'm not going to have a bird out worship me. Great motive, huh? We study personality traits, and that's a very red trait, if you're wondering. You got blues that are very caring, reds, let's just get her done, and let's get her done as fast as possible, and you got greens, do it all decently in order. I am a total red, okay? Let's get her done. I'm not going to have some bird beat me at worshiping God on Easter morning. Now, to reinforce this, you guys are wondering, who is this guy? My diesel professor, okay? This is true. Every time we would get stumped, he would say this, now, hun, and his nickname was the hun. Now, hun, all you have to be is smarter than that piece of cast iron. Every mechanic here knows what I'm talking about. I can tell you story after story. He'd come up to me and say, now, hun, that's why we called him the hun, because he called everyone hun. And he was like 90 years old at the time. This old guy, now, hun, think about it for a minute. All you have to be is smarter than that piece of cast iron. There's a lot of truth to that. Jesus said, literally, if they weren't worshiping me and praising me, the rocks would cry out. So what was Jesus saying? All you got to do is be smarter than that rock. Oh, you got to be a smart net rock. There is the is, okay? In my note, that was my first spelling error that I caught anyway. There's probably others. That is in many of your notes. And spell check didn't catch it because in is a word. There is nothing new about clueless or clued in. There just is nothing new about it. It's been around a long time. Isaiah 6 verse 9. And here's what the Lord said through the prophet. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. As one of our former pastors here, you say, we would all make really good Israelites. And that is not a compliment. But don't we look back at those boys and say, I'd never do that. I wouldn't do that. Man, those 12 spies, I'd have been one of the two. I'd have said, let's go for it. I don't know about that. In Matthew 13, 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Jesus, it's repeated again. You will be ever hearing, but never perceiving. I've repeated twice. That I didn't copy and paste. That should be seeing and never perceiving, hearing and never understanding. See, there's another error. That had been caught by our secretary. I'm just not going to let her go on vacation anymore. That's just what's got to happen. Otherwise, you might turn and be forgiven. Now, to balance this out just a little bit, not everyone is clueless, okay? I'm not saying everyone is. I'm saying most people are. Not everyone. Luke 2, 25 through 38. This is Jesus' dedication. Remember, Jesus was born in that humble thing, and then they took him on the eighth day to be circumcised. And there's these two cool people, Simeon and Anna. Now the temple is full of people. There's hundreds and hundreds of people. And Simeon, I don't know, clearly the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He went over, he saw Jesus. This is Jesus the Messiah, and he worshiped God. And then Anna had been a widow for many, many years. She's there. It says she never left. She never left the temple. She saw Jesus and worshiped Jesus too. Everyone else missed it. Everyone else missed it. But these two people that were tuned into God, God let them see the Messiah before they die. So it's not impossible. And then in 1 Kings, now here's another example, the prophet Elijah. Now he kicked butt, you know, he did some really red stuff, right? Do you remember? You remember the story? Everyone remember the story? He kicked butt. And then what's the guy do? Runs away from a woman. Good grief. What's wrong with you? Runs away, pouts and cries and prays that he would be dead. And then the Lord said, he said, I'm the only one left. There's no one else. Anyone ever feel that way? I'm the only one. You weenie. Sorry about that. I probably shouldn't say that in church. Here's what the Lord said. I reserve 7,000 men. You're not the only one. There are 7,000 who have never bailed to bow or anyone else. Brothers and sisters, we aren't alone. We're not alone. It may feel like it at times, but we're not alone. So my question this morning is, and you can see we're going to finish fairly early because we are going to have some silent time of listening. So which are you? Please don't be like I've been most of my life. Oh, I am not clueless anymore. I am not clueless. Please don't just jump there. Please don't. Are you clueless or clued in? And here's the reality. Why am I saying that? Jesus is here. Did you sense him in worship? I sure did. The world calls him goosebumps. I call him God bumps when I sense his presence and I get God bumps. He's here. Just as he was there long ago, going into Jerusalem, riding on a colt, just as sure as he was there, he is here now. And scripture in Hebrews says, today is the day of salvation. Hebrews also says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as your forefathers did. If you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts like your forefathers did. Because that's what they did regularly. Ever hearing. They heard, but they didn't perceive it. They didn't understand it. Jesus is right here, right now. And now I'm going to, I don't do a whole lot of this, but this is a secular poem. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Anyone ever heard of her? Lived a long time ago. I love this. Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. And let's read that again. Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. What's she referring to? Who's she referring to? Moses. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us, what do? So which are we? Are we going to take off our shoes because we're in the presence of God? Or are we going to pluck blackberries? Or are you thinking about where you're going to go to lunch already? Which are we? Clueless or clued in? And please don't jump right into I'm not, I'm clued in. Because I can promise you most of the time we're not. We're so busy. We don't sense his presence. We miss it. And we miss out on the blessings of God. At least I know I do. And I'm assuming that you guys are a lot like me. Unfortunately, you're a lot like me. You can get so busy doing that you neglect the best thing. Just being in his presence. Just being with him. And so, it's only 10:58. Very intentionally, it's only 10:58. Listening to God time. And I know this may be uncomfortable. Here's my redness. Life is tough, suck it up, okay? Here's my redness. Sorry. But we're going to have some quiet time. And if you got kids that make noise, just don't worry about it. I know when our kids were small, Lynette was horrified of silent time in church because one of our kids would be doing something, wiggling, squirming, whatever. Moms, dads, relax. Relax. God is greater than a squirming kid, crying kid, whatever. Just relax. Let's just take some time to quiet our hearts. And I'm going to lead us in a brief prayer. And let's just wait on the Lord. Let's just be silent in his presence and ask Jesus to reveal himself. Paul said he prayed, open the eyes of my heart. Let's just ask him to do that and reveal himself to us. Okie doke. And since I'm in charge, life is tough. Suck it up. If you despise this, you can get out and walk, and I will not be offended. But I believe it's what God wants. Okay, so let's just quiet our hearts. I'm going to lead us in a brief prayer, and then I'm going to just invite him to come and speak. And so let's just sit in his presence for a while. I know silence can be uncomfortable, but it's okay. It's okay. Dear Dad in heaven, wow, for so many years, I was just so certain. If I was there back then, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have been right there. I'd have been throwing a blanket down. I'd have been throwing a palm leaf down. I'd have been doing that. Please forgive my arrogance. Please forgive me. I confess to you and my brothers and sisters that so much of the time I am still clueless. But I want to be clued in. I want to be clued into you. You are here. We've sensed your presence. We've welcomed you. By faith, we know that you are here. And so I just ask, in these next few moments, Spirit of living God, fall fresh on each one of us. Jesus, come however you choose, however you desire. Just come. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. So we don't want to put you in a box, but we do want to quiet our hearts to be still. Holy Spirit, come and so fill us and quiet our hearts so that we can be still to hear your quiet voice or however you choose to reveal yourself to us. Come, come, come in Jesus' name, come.